Welcome to The Power of Stories, a podcast by women, about women, and for women. Their voices and their stories. I am Sharon Catherine D'Agostino, a passionate advocate for the empowerment of women and girls everywhere, and the founder of sayitforward.org.
And I'm Yodit Kifle-Smith, a creative dedicated to making sure the voices and stories of women are heard. I have the privilege of working with Sharon on sayitforward.org to do just that. In this podcast, you will meet courageous women from around the world whose unique path to empowerment will leave you encouraged and inspired. On today's episode, we welcome Armel, who is joining us from Cameroon. Armel is from Comoros. She is a youth educational activist who advocates for girls and women's rights. And she is a STEM educator at Amara Comoros. Armel, we want to thank you for joining us today. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Armel, it's great to be talking with you today. Right now, you're talking to us from Cameroon.
I'm here for my master's studies. I'm an AU scholar, African Union, again, an African Union scholarship. In 2020, when I get my BA in English literature, I applied for the AU scholarship. I was lucky enough among of the few 10 young Africans who got the scholarship for the Master in Interpretations.
You mentioned that you ended up going to get your BA in English. So how did that lead you to the path that you are on now?
I got a scholarship to go for the army in Morocco, but my family refused, and I was 17 at that time. I didn't go for that because they didn't want me to do army. I wanted to go for journalism, but we don't have that in my country. But at that time, I was very angry, and I decided that year to not go to school. So I was kind of playing my childish behavior, saying that you refuse me to do what I want, so I'm not going to school anymore. But the next year, I decided to join the English department. You have to pass a test before you get accepted to the department. I did the test, I got selected, and then I spent 4 years. I get my BA. And at the same year, when I joined the English department, I joined the NGO Imara Comoros, where I was volunteering in education, doing advocacy work. So when I joined the NGO, it has opened a lot of doors for me to advocate nationally and internationally. Also, thanks to English, because Comoros is a French-speaking country. We have French and Arabic as our national language. English is maybe in the next 10 years will become the third, but it's not really spoken in the country. And we know that most of opportunities internationally are in English. And thanks to my work in the NGO, I was able to apply to many different activities, fellowship programs, summits, conferences, and get selected and participate in different programs, which has allowed me now to be youth advocate in the international organization like UNESCO and GPE, the Global Partnership for Education.
Armel, growing up, what inspired you?
Coming from a very conservative environment where you cannot be who you are or do what you want to be because you are a woman. So growing up, I wanted to do a lot of things. I wanted to be an engineer. I wanted to be a journalist. I wanted to play football. But all of that, I have been said, you are a woman. You cannot do that. So what has inspired me a lot is brain changes. So I wanted to be a change maker. I wanted to be the one who is going to bring that change in the community. Like we cannot, I just grew up with that ambition saying that no, there should be equality between men and women. It's not that I'm a woman, but I cannot play football because I was so inspired, first of all, by myself, like the talent I had in football, the way I was playing against men and I was not even tired. I was that strong. I was saying, but why I have this talent, but I'm going to stop me to not like fulfill that, enjoy that talent because I'm a girl. So that has really pushed me to believe in myself and also to inspire other young women, because I was not the only one, but many young women who wanted to do a lot of things in the community, but they have been stopped because they were a girl. So that's what has really inspired me. And also seeing other people in the different medias doing a lot of things that we are not able to do in our country.
Being a change maker is, it's hard work and it's a challenge, and especially in, as you mentioned, a very conservative country. So how did you stay motivated to keep going and to keep insisting that you and other girls and women could do things you wanted to do?
I would say it was the courage and also the dream I wanted to achieve, because it was really difficult, because even my family, my aunties were rejecting me when I decided to focus myself into football and to play football. Like, everyone in the family was rejecting me. I was even sleeping in a friend's houses, because they say, if you decide to do that, you're not going to stay in this house. It was really difficult, but I had to listen to my inner voice. My inner voice was telling me, this is what you are capable to do. This is what you can do. But by the time that things were changing in the country, where women's football was really evaluated, people were recognizing that women can also play football. That's where, like, people tend to change their mind and be open and be welcoming to us, because there was a lot of ideas and assumption behind it, saying that you're a woman who play football, you are not straight people, you are part of the LGBTQ community group, and being a Muslim country, you know, there was also those assumptions where parents were saying, no, we are not going to let you, because this is going to lead you to another path, which is against our belief and religion. And it was very difficult. But what has also led my family to be supportive in the future, it's because I was still performing well in school, because they were thinking that me focusing in another activity will going to affect my studies, because they were really going to school and checking. So all of that has pushed them to be supportive at some point.
Many times in your young life, you had things that you wanted to do and you were told no, that you couldn't because you were a girl. How did you actually then get to do those things?
Sometimes you have to listen to your inner voice and know what you really want. And at that time, I was young, but I was kind of saying that I'm just going to let something I love and something that I have talent on to just go like this. Why not just do it, and we'll assume what is going to happen. And yeah, that's what happened. Like, I take responsibility of all the rejection, even if it was not easy to handle, but I don't regret. I just regret to not have done the other stuff that I wanted to do.
You had a passion for helping the youth. Given your past, right, and not having people believe in you, you want to make sure that there are youth that are believed in. But what has been the role of mentorship in your own life?
I would say there wasn't any mentorship in my life. I didn't have anyone to look up to talk to if things are hard. The thing that's really pushed me to be that elder sister that my youngest brother and sister, they could come to and talk about their problem, because I lived in a world where I wanted to share a lot of things, but no one was listening. And because I would say it's also a mark of our culture, like, we don't really talk a lot, and everything that's happened, you have to accept it because that's the will of God. So I think, like, we grew up with that culture, like, when something happens to you, you cannot complain, because if you are complaining, people are going to assume that you are going against God's willing. So we don't really talk. And that's why, like, nowadays, there are many young Comorians who are really affected with mental health issues. So that has really pushed me to be the elder sister that the youth will come to me and talk about their issue. That's why, like, I open myself to all young people to be free and talk to them, because I know how it feels. I know that when you come to a point that you really need someone to just listen to you, not really help you, they may not know that by listening, they are already helping. Sometimes we think that helping should be like materials, but being that person that you can just listen and just be there and comforting means a lot.
So you have talked about not having a mentor, and that is difficult for girls and for young women and for grown women. And what did you actually do? Because you had to mentor yourself.
I wouldn't say I've done it alone. I'm sure that I've done it with the people who supported me in silence, because those people exist and we tend to forget. I may be supporting you on your walk in silence and be praying for you. So I do believe that those people who were doing that was really helping me, because I was waking up every day with the same ambition and with the energy that I may be suffering now, I may be discriminated now, but I'm opening doors for other young people to come, to be really living this moment. And I can take the example now in my country, because Comoros is a very tiny island. Like, seeing young people looking up to me now and sending me messages on all social media and saying that they are inspired by me and they want to be like me. They want to be this young woman who doesn't have any fear, who have the courage to speak up about any issue that is happening in the world, and specifically when it comes to young people and education. My mentors were out there. I don't know them, but they are my heroes.
Armel, what would you say to someone who has a dream or a vision that they want for their life, but the path quite isn't getting them there yet? What would you say to that person?
First of all, it's not easy to dream, and it's not easy to get to your dream. But what I would tell to that young person, it's really to have an objective, not dreaming because someone has done it. It's good, but what is really going to help you and how are you going to get there? Which means that try to draw your line, your path, like how are you going to get to be? And while you are drawing your line, knowing that there's going to be ups and downs, but what is going to make you different is look up to those who give up on their plans. But what are you going to make you different to those who has given up is for you if you keep pushing. Because sometimes we tend to look up our heroes or people who inspired us and say that, oh, they have succeeded. We are sure that it was easy. But we tend to forget that the hardship they were doing and what they have been going through in order to achieve what they were doing. So for you to be able to achieve your dream is to believe on your work and work hard for it, because you really have to take sacrifices. Either you're going to sacrifice your friends, your work. If your friends are not believing in your dreams, sacrifice them and believe on yourself, because you are the one who's seeing the goals. And when you reach those goals, you will see you're going to get many friends and many cousins and many family members. Like, at that time, people will come up to you. But don't think about, my friend is saying that this is not going to work. I'm kind of like getting nuts thinking about achieving that dream. No, follow your dream. Take sacrifices. If for you to get your dreams, you have to stop doing things that you are doing, leave it for once and try to achieve it.
So you were dreaming and you had big dreams, and some of the people important in your life were not supporting those dreams. What changed? At what moment did you realize, I can do what I want to do because it's right for me?
The moment I've realized that was the moment, like, my coaches were saying that you are different to the other girls. Like, you have something special. You really have to follow this path and like play football. Like, you are kind of born for playing football. And I was like, wow. Like, now there is someone who believes in me. There is someone who believes on what I'm doing. So that has really pushed me. and also being able to represent your country, it's something special. So those are among of the things that have given me hope and courage to continue working on that area.
How can we all encourage other women and girls to confidently use their voice and claim their power?
What we can all do is to start having discussion with young people at early age, to start believing them, because education starts at home. School is just another asset that is adding, like giving an addition on the education that young people get at home. I'm saying that because coming from a very religious country and conservative country, like while growing up, we are growing up with that mindset at home at age of 3-4. We are already teaching you, you are a girl, should stay at home. You should stay in the kitchen watching your mother cooking. And the boy has been told, you are a man, go to the mosque with your father, go and stay in the public place with your father. So you've grown up with that mindset. When at age of 16 or 18, you're not going to tell a boy who grew up with that kind of behavior to go and be cooking or be washing dishes, it's not going to work. But I think like we start having the discussion that wherever who you are, you can all be the voices you want to be. You are born in a diverse world now. You can choose if you want to advocate for engineering, you are a man, but you want to work in cooking, you want to be a chief. You should just encourage them at early age. So I think what we can do is to build that change since their early age and give confidence to young men and women. My aunt was telling me, you are like a man. Like when we beat you, don't even cry. It's like, look at the other girls. When you beat them, they cry. That's how a girl should behave. You should cry. But you just act like a man. Those kind of behavior saying that if you don't show emotions, you mean that you are this gender. If you show emotions, like those kind of education and mentality that we really have to build since our young age.
We're just so grateful for the time that you've shared with us today, Armel. And, you know, we know that those who listen will be inspired. So thank you for showing us what it means to not just help others believe in you, but believing in yourself. To our listeners, as always, thank you for making the time to listen to this episode of the Power of Stories podcast.
Armel, I am so grateful to you for talking with us and with our listeners and for inspiring us to dream.
Thank you very much for having me. It's such a pleasure. And to all young people out there, the world belongs to you and you are its drivers. Take the time and lead the world.
And I also thank you, Yodit, always for dreaming with me. And we send out thanks to Lisa DeJavine, who is the co-producer and editor of the Power of Stories podcast. And to our listeners, we invite you to visit sayitforward.org, a place where you are welcome to share one or more stories about your unique path to empowerment. Or you can read the stories of other women and girls. This is Sharon Catherine D'Agostino
and Yodit Kifle-Smith signing off for now and hoping you'll join us for our next episode of the Power of Stories podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, we do hope you'll give us a review and recommend the Power of Stories to a friend. And lastly, we want to remind you of the power of your story.